Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
He's a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Max Dinchcombe is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and ASW Distillery.
The College Football Hall of Famer, Matt Stinchcomb, with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Matt, good afternoon. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Guys, happy to be here. Fired up to be a Braves fan. Unbelievable.
Everybody is fired up, and everybody, I think, conversely, is tired of talking about JT Daniels. So where do we go from here?
Well, you know, as I understand it, the way it's gone this week, it's, you know, he's progressing. It doesn't sound like he's ready to go just yet. And I do think that, you know, at some point, maybe we're already past that point or at that point, you have to say, look, at this point, we've got to continue on with our current lineup. And that meaning Stetson Bennett stays in there. We've talked about it earlier in the season. You know, why does he get the series that he does? Why does he get inserted into a game? You know, that you think about the UAB contest, South Carolina, why did he get that series when JT was rocking and rolling? Well, I think partly it's because maybe these guys were the separation between the two by the coach's assessment wasn't that wide of a gap. And there is an element that he brings to the offense that JT Daniels very much does not, which is his mobility, which was on display once again this past Saturday versus Auburn. So I do think that at some point in the season, you never want to see a guy lose his job due to injury. It happens all the time. And I think maybe that may be what happens here with the quarterback position for Georgia. Right now, all they're doing is winning with Stetson Bennett in there.
So it's the other way around. JT Daniels becomes the situational quarterback, perhaps.
And the only difficulty I have with that scenario is what situation is that exactly? Because Stetson Bennett, he doesn't compromise that passing game to the extent where you're like, well, let's bring this guy in to throw it, and then, you know, we'll put Stetson back in there, and he's going to run, you know, zone read. That's not the case, you know. So it's, you know, in the aggregate, you look at Stetson Bennett, and you're like, maybe his skill set actually brings more to the table. Is he the same passer that JT Daniels is? No, he's not. But is he that abridged relative to JT Daniels' skills as a passer? No. If anything, if you go the situational route, I think it makes more sense to then have Stetson Bennett be the situational player. But, yeah, you know, at this point, I just don't know what event happens.
Can I give an example? And I'm not telling you this is a real thing, but if you're down 2.5 scores, 17 points, we got to throw it now. Here he comes. I mean, is that a scenario that could – that could possibly play out?
I haven't contemplated that a lot, because getting down 2 or 3 scores means you have to play a team that puts 2 or 3 scores on that defense.
True.
But that's the scenario that could be contemplated where you're like, look, this is obvious passing downs. But even, I got to say, you know, even then, one of the difficulties, and any coach will tell you this, a defensive coach, where they're going through the 2-minute drill, they're versus, you know, obvious passing situations, the most difficult quarterback to prepare for is the one that can scramble, because you just can't hold up in coverage. Eventually, somebody's going to uncover. Bo Nix has made an entire career out of that. So even in that scenario where, yes, if there's time yet on the clock and you're down enough to where, look, we do have to go to a more pass-oriented offense, then JT Daniels goes in there. But then we go right back to guys. He's got this nagging injury that is aggravated by doing what? By throwing the football. And so you have to wonder, you know, even in that scenario, does it make sense to try to put another guy in there that, you know, may or may not be able to persist in that role? So it's just, you know, it's a curious predicament. I don't know that it's anything other than a blessed problem. because by the time he's back healthy, if in fact he can get back healthy, you've got two really good options at quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this into Twilight, but if I had a T-shirt, mine would say Team Stetson. I'm watching the guy play. I'm Team Stetson right now.
Yeah, I will say, you know, it goes back to, you know, what would inform the change? All he's doing is winning right now. It's, you know, I made the analogy somewhere else that, you know, it's kind of like Alabama in 17 with Jalen Hurts. Why do you take Jalen Hurts out? All we're doing is winning with him. Oh, Tua's a better passer. Okay, yeah. I mean, he's a better passer. We're winning with this other guy. We'll put Tua in when we need to put Tua in. And doggone if that's not precisely what happened. But I do think that, you know, maybe that's the scenario here where it's like, you know, it's not just it's not broke, you know, so don't fix it. It's more along the lines of I think you're winning with Stetson Bennett. I'm not sure that you couldn't win because of Stetson Bennett. And because that's available, that's a reasonable availability, I don't know that you make a change preemptively.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. The odds makers don't seem to think so. Can Kentucky make this a game?
You know, in what quarter? I'm not saying that to be smart. It's yeah, they can make it a game, I think, early on. Can they sustain an offensive onslaught for four quarters versus this defense? I don't think so. You know, right now they have – what's changed about Kentucky this year is that they have a downfield passing game. They have an early down, play-action pass, downfield passing game. But really right now, and a guy can emerge, right? Texas A&M gives you pause for everything. Everything we think we know, maybe we don't know. But unless a guy emerges for them, other than Wandale Robinson, I don't know who threatens you at wide receiver. And because Georgia is as dominant as they are tackle to tackle, you don't need to borrow from the secondary to help your run defense. What does that mean? That means you've got four and oftentimes five guys available to cover, and you're worried about one. And so because of that, I think it's going to be tough sledding. I think they'll be able to run the ball at times because Chris Rodriguez is a good player, and this is probably the best offensive front that Georgia will have seen all season. It's not probably. It is. It is the best offensive front that Georgia's seen all year. It's just not good enough, I think, to really consistently threaten this Georgia front seven in the run game.
Matt, a couple of quick things. I know Kirby was very quick to point out that being ranked number one, that's just a number. But if I, like, to me, what's kind of mind-blowing, I had a buddy in New Jersey because he heard it. Georgia has been ranked number one since 1982. That's 39 years without ever having just a number, that number attached to you. That seems even more excessive than the 40 years since the national title thing.
Yeah, it does seem like a long time. I got to tell you, I hadn't really researched this, but I heard that stat thrown around. I thought, but weren't they like preseason number one in 08?
This like, late in the season, like the last time, they were number one with Herschel's last year in 82.
Cool. Yeah, you know, and y'all know how I feel about in-season rankings.
Yeah.
I think they're very, very instructive. They're highly informed. They're almost always logical. So because of that, you know, I'm as fired up as anybody that Georgia's at number one. I will say that I actually have more of an issue with, and I've paid a little bit of attention to the fact that I don't know how Kentucky's 11. Why are they 11? Why is Michigan and Michigan State ranked ahead of Kentucky? Who have they beat?
Well, you beat Florida and LSU in back-to-back weeks. That would, I would think, at least give you the right to be in the top 10. I'll give you that.
You would think. It's just at this point where it's like, look, it's kind of like funny money. This polls, I can put you wherever I want. It's a poll. It's in season. I can change it. I probably will. Maybe I won't. I probably should, but I'm not. It's one of those things where it's like if you could make a top 10 matchup in the middle of the season, just for eyeballs, just for interest, why wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you have them in the top 10? Because you can always change them next week. Go ahead.
Yeah. It might have set a record for top 10 opponents because if this number is really 23 after the Arkansas 18, I'd imagine the combined 41 being favored over top 10 opponents might be something close to a record. I do want to finish up with this. So you are a Braves fan. What Freddie Freeman did last night, as a fan, but also as a guy who played at the level you played at, do you believe that certain guys have it?
I do. I think there's certain guys that, you know, they want that at bat. They want that. Not burden. They view it as a responsibility. It's an opportunity. This is a chance. I want that chance. It's the you know, Bubba Watson, you know, if I got a swing, I got a chance. You know, it's the Michael Jordan. It's that whatever it is. Some guys have that, and they shouldn't, right? There's some guys like, no, I want the ball at the end of the game. And everybody else on the team's like, but we don't want you to have the ball at the end of the game. You think that, but we don't. But Freddie Freeman, you know, there's not a guy on that team that wasn't like, you know what? God, this plays out great, doesn't it, boys? I mean, just the idea that we can have this guy in this moment with this opportunity, and you want more of those. You would engineer those if you could. Those are those guys that are special. Some guys think they have the it factor and they don't. Some guys think they have the it factor and they do, and he's one of them.
Let's circle back to college football real quick. We talked about Kentucky beating Florida and LSU in back-to-back weeks. They push around LSU last week. Is Ogeron in trouble? Is he going to lose his job? Let's take it a step further.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's in deep trouble. I think that you're talking about a relatively mercurial fan base. It's not that distinct from, you know, Auburn, except they're maybe a little bit more intoxicated. So because of that, the decision making might be compromised from a fan base standpoint. They're all up in arms about what's going on. You got players getting surgeries now that, you know, maybe they could have played through based on the wording that you're hearing about. Eli Ricks now is not going to finish the season. I mean, guys are seemingly jumping ship. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, why is that? You know, halfway through the season, you've got seven more games to play, potentially, and you've got guys saying, I'm going to go on ahead and tap out. I look at LSU, and I see a tap-out culture. I see a bunch of guys that are saying, season's not going the way we wanted to. I'm going to go on ahead and shut it down. And I think that's what you see happening right now with the locker room.
Were you able to get a glimpse into the ding dong, the witch is dead, 4 minutes of people reveling in the idea that Alabama now was out of the college football
Which
playoff?
Which they're not, of course.
And then in minute five, there was a reality check.
You know what's crazy to me is that, you know, so you look at some of that mindset, and people are, some are thrilled, and it's a new number one and all that other stuff, and that's fine for the talking points. To me, the best thing that could have happened, if you're anything other than an Alabama fan, would have been for Alabama to play poorly and still win. Because now you can't – now you're – it's like, yeah, coach, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, Will Anderson, I hear what you're saying. We gotta play with more of an edge. We got to get more dialed in. We're still winning games, man. So it's more white noise in the background. No. Now you just got called. You just lost. You didn't play well, and you lost. And now you have my attention. And that could be a problem. I think they've got some fundamental issues on that football team. But for the broader college football landscape, I think what would have been better, actually, would have been for Alabama to continue to win, play poorly, and still come away with a victory, because it's a lot harder to get guys' attention then.
You got Jimbo this week?
Got Jimbo this week. I bet he doesn't want to talk about that Alabama game anymore. He's already said it. I'm done. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, no. Do you believe him? Because I don't. I think he wants to talk about it.
Oh, no, it's coming up. Yeah. Oh, we're definitely going to talk about it.
Yeah, just talk Missouri with him. That's it, their opponent.
Hey, can I ask, so what am I supposed to take out of the idea that they dropped to but had that kind of game in them? I mean, I know everybody's patting them on the back. Me, maybe I'm a jerk, but I'm looking and going, brother, were you playing the look-ahead game? And if you were, weren't you supposed to fix that?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. No, I don't think they were playing the look-ahead game. They had problems that aren't easily fixed in season. And having seen them play versus New Mexico, watching that game versus Colorado, you know, it's a little bit of a shock to the system. You lose your quarterback, yeah, sure, but they had other issues before that. And so I will say, you know, Alabama helped A&M. I mean, A&M played well. They played their best game, no doubt. Alabama helped them out. There was a lot of there was some missed assignments, some blown coverages, miscommunications. So they definitely took advantage of it. Kudos to them. But make no mistake, A&M didn't get all their problems fixed in 1 week, and Jimbo knows that.
Real quick, speaking of Stones, though, that Calzada kid, local kid, holy smoke.
Yeah, I tell you what, and it's great, because I will say, I thought that Jimbo broke him. He was coaching him so hard, and it's easy to see guys just fold their tent. That kid didn't do it. I mean, it is. I can't tell you the amount of admiration I have, not just because of the way he played, but just the fact that he is stuck in it, and he has taken shots left and right, both on and off the field, and he just, you know, kept getting back in the ring. It was that element mentally was as impressive as what he did physically.
All right, Stinch, enjoy Columbia, Missouri. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys, talk with you. Thanks.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.